It's time to swing hard with Coach Denny Barrett. Denny has recruited and coached some of the top athletes from around the world. During that time, Denny created the nationally renowned travel baseball program called Batters, which prepares young players to succeed at the high school and professional levels. In this podcast, Denny talks to coaches, comedians, actors, scouts, and Hollywood elites about sports, relationships, and life. Now here's Denny Barrett.
I had no idea we were getting Hulk Hogan on here, man. I'll tell you that right now.
Who are you looking at?
No. You know what, Chris? How old are you, Chris? Just want to ask. Because you were a former player of mine. How old are you today?
Actually, the 11th, I turned 45.
Congratulations.
So just turned 45, fresh off of a birthday.
Wow. February 11th?
That's right.
Happy birthday, brother. Happy birthday. Thank you. Because you look, so that means you're 45. You do look easy, a good 43. No, you look. I'm telling you right now, man, way to go. It's good to have you on, Chris. Are the boys coming on? What do we think?
Yeah. I mean, you know, they are related to me, so they're probably going to be a little late.
That happens. Well, I'm not concerned about it. Plus, I'm sure they loved it on Valentine's night. I don't know. Hey, Rob, you remember Chris, don't you?
Absolutely. Hey, Chris, good to talk to you again.
Good to talk to you. Thanks for having me.
Hey, I appreciate on such late notice for you coming on in here. And I guess Chris, producer Rob, has this big romantic Valentine's tonight. So we have a drop dead at 50 minutes. And then if we have to, we'll bring it back again. We hate to break into Rob's love life. Sorry, Rob.
Yeah, my pay date leaves at 5:50. So I have to make sure I don't miss that or I pay extra. So
I get it. I totally get it. Totally get it. But here we are. Podcast number what, man?
142.
I'm sending this. Sorry, guys. I'm sending this to Boston right now so that he can jump on. It says he didn't get the link. So I just sent it to him.
Okay. Let me make sure the email I sent. I thought it was BostonMabius at Gmail.
Yeah, I think I just text him.
It could have gotten spammed.
That.
Check here.
God, I can't wait to see. This is great. Chris, thanks for making this
happen.
There we go. There he is.
There he is.
All right.
Wow. Wow. And then is Bert coming? Look at Boston Mabius. My God. Boston, last time I saw you face to face, hate to say it, I just saw your face. You came out of your mother's, and there you were. Okay, I mean, I saw you day one right there, Boston. It's a pretty special day that day. Boston, you were born what? You were born April 16th or
17th?
19th. You were 4 days later. Okay, my son Brady was April 15th. Before we continue, Chris, is Burke coming on? Do we know if Burke is coming?
I think he's still at practice till 6, so we'll have to do another one with
him.
Can you guys give me like 10 seconds? I have to turn in an assignment real quick.
Boston, of course you can, man, because I wish Chris would have taken some more time in college like this, but it was a different deal back then, all right? Go ahead. Go do what you got to do. But Chris, let's talk, man.
This is as real as it gets right here. We got a college student turning in assignments and doing a pod. This is real life, man. This is perfect.
Well, hold on a second. What's the class? You're not going to let him get away with not telling the class here. What do you got here?
So the class is called, let's see, because I forget what they are.
I don't blame you. When you have someone else taking it for you, Boston, it's always a challenge.
It's comms 32 issues in global communication.
Yes, it is. Sure it is. Yeah, I know that one. Yeah.
Remember that one.
It's like me trying to hit a slider from Chris Mabius. It's just forget it. Just forget it right there, man. Are we in Boston? Because I do not want to be responsible for you having a phenomenal future because this class just kind of the bed in this class. Excuse my language.
I'm about to press submit right now. Give me 15 seconds actually this time and we should be good.
So
this is only a 40-minute podcast, boss. So if you want Chris and myself and Rob to review it first before you submit, we got plenty of time.
No, I'm good. I'm good. We're good. We're good.
I'll give him a little bit of plug. So this is a 2-2 student out of high school that had to go to a special committee to get in to BYU.
Wow.
And then last, what was it, your sophomore year? You were all conference academic.
Honorable mention.
Probably, one of the most proud, the proudest moments of my life when you were academic all conference. And then last year you were athletic all conference, right? So
and last semester I got like a 3.8. So
yeah,
wow.
I should be getting
2-2 in high school
again. So,
Boston, God, we're stepping on you a little bit. That's a big deal that Chris said, you just mentioned. You're a left-handed pitcher at Brigham Young University, correct?
Yeah. I was actually about to say I should get academic all conference in the Big 12 because the West Coast Conference is like it's all private schools. So like everybody gets good grades. Now that I'm in the Big 12, I think I'm a shoo-in for academic player of the year. So,
Wow, that won't come out of that dugout when you get one ball hit hard off you. Okay, keep talking, pal. I love it, man. I love it. Hey, what changed though, man? Boston, what changed? What changed coming out of high school and then going into college? Honest to God.
I don't know. I think so. After high school, I served a 2-year mission, and I was just an 18-year-old kid with another 18-year-old kid just living life in Bolivia. So, I mean, I had to learn to figure. I had to learn to live like basically on my own. I had to learn how to manage my time and all this stuff. I studied my scriptures every day, and it taught me like how to study and how to memorize things and just like how to do a good job on stuff. And I just took that same everything I learned, I guess, then and started applying it more to school. And like, honestly, I mean, really, the short answer is I just started trying, in all honesty. So,
I get that. I'm going to ask you a little bit more on this. You go to high school, you're pretty good left-handed pitcher out of high school, correct?
Yeah.
And how was the conversation, Chris, between you and him? Did you know that mission? And in the Mormon, God, and correct me if I'm wrong, man, not the Mormon church, but the Mormon, you have to do a 2-year mission representing the Mormons, correct?
Yeah, so it's an option. So I actually have a lot of teammates that chose to opt out on it. But I knew for myself 100%, like I wanted to serve one. It was, I had felt something. I had a super spiritual experience, and
right on.
I felt like God was telling me, like, you have to serve one. Like, you know, this, you believe this stuff. You like, you know, it's true. Like, you have to go try to spread the word. And that's what I ended up doing. I was like, I don't really have a choice. So.
So the theme of this podcast called Swing Hard in Case You Hit It. We use baseball as an analogy in life to do things and so forth. I got to believe, how was the conversation, Chris, between you and Boston, knowing the guy? There's a lot of dads out there. A lot of dads out there that they're pushing their kid, play baseball. You got to go year-round play. And I can just keep vomiting out the bullshit that comes out of some of the mouths out there from dads and sons. You put your son through 4 years of high school, left-handed pitcher. You may make a lot of money someday making a lot of pitching. And he says, you guys agreed that the mission is calling. That's the option he's going to take. Was there any type of tug of war between you two and that, Chris?
So, no, I remember the spiritual experience that he's talking about. When he was 13 years old, he let a group of us know that he was making the decision now. And wow. He felt like if he made that decision when he was 13 years old, knowing what he knew, there would be something that the decision would be hard if he was making it when he was 18. And yeah. So he was going to make the decision now as a 13-year-old boy, knowing that this is what he wanted to do and was going to commit to that and prepare himself to do that when he was 18. And he was exactly right. I know I got a call from a Major League Baseball organization, a couple of days before the draft. And they really asked, hey, is this something that he really wants to do? Or does he have aspirations of, you know, going in the draft? And I said, this is something he's wanted to do. He's already made the decision that he's going to do it. And, you know, he chose to go put baseball on hold. And as a father, I just say, like, I think that was more important than playing in the major leagues for me, because the things that he learned on his mission, going and living in Bolivia for 2 years, the humility, the just all of the challenges that he had, it's completely changed him as a person and his outlook, his patience, his work ethic, his perspective on life. Doesn't take a lot of things for granted. So baseball is a great tool for us, and we have it for a short period of time in our lives. If we're lucky enough, we get it for longer than some other people. But the lessons and the things that he learned on his mission as a father, just watching and reading his letters when he was away, you know, I wouldn't change a thing. I think that it's a very, very awesome opportunity for him.
But Chris, was there ever a time, man, between you two, we're with Chris Mabius, Boston Mabius, and Berkeley Mabius, the irony of this three, and producer Rob, sorry, Rob, I always forget you. I keep forgetting you're kind of the backbone of this dang thing, man.
But last name's not Mabius. I'm not fitting in too well today, but I'm listening to the story. No, you're not. Yeah, I love it.
But Boston Mabius is a senior at Brigham Young University, left-handed pitcher, starter, reliever, throws plus 90. He throws 110 miles an hour. I don't know if I'm telling the truth, but Boston, go with it. But Boston's a pitcher. At other son is a catcher. That's Berkeley. At any chance you could have named him Brady or Brendan? I don't know. I got a couple of B's. You got enough B's in this freaking.
They're all B's.
All B's. Berkeley is senior who's going to be going to Oregon next year, correct? As a catcher. So we have that's a pitcher right. And a catcher, both top athletic people. But Chris, I had a chance to coach Chris at Lewis Clark State College. But Chris, wasn't there at all a tug of war? I mean, I know what you're saying. But when a professional scout comes to you, or Boston, you too, man, any tug of war at all, and no decisions made. I'm not questioning anything except for, hey, Boston, we'd like to take you in the third round here for the Chicago White Sox. And you were set in stone, correct? Both you guys?
Well, I mean, in full honesty, my dad never told me anybody called. So who knows? But no.
I love when this comes out. I love it.
But seriously, I knew I wanted to go on a mission. In all honesty, I wasn't good enough out of high school to get any like life-changing money that would have altered my decision. I think now looking back, I wasn't ready for professional baseball, and I wasn't even ready to play college baseball. And I don't think any of that changed. Like, I think I got ready to play college baseball on my mission. Like the things I learned, I mean, in high school, I was out of shape. I was overweight. I wasn't disciplined, and I learned all this stuff on my mission, and it's helped me become the better baseball player now in college. So, and granted, I've struggled a little bit in college. I've had my ups and downs, but I think ultimately learning how to adapt, learning how to get better just comes from like the stuff I learned on my mission. So
amazing. You know, we get a lot of parents out there today, Chris, and by the way, Chris, congratulations on two beautiful sons, man, you know, and a beautiful family. Let's don't forget, you put together a family. I saw you a couple of years ago in Henderson, Nevada. And I keep in contact with Chris and Boston. And I'm going to just blow smoke up your dad's nose right now to tell you that when he played at Lewiston, the same guy you see today is the same guy that was there in 20. I don't know. I think that's this intrinsic, and I love the word intrinsic. I think it's just in there. It's already in there. And I don't know what happened, Chris, when Chris came to the I could feel the humility on your voice, Boston, the humbleness, which is wonderful. Chris came to Lewiston and big time right-hander we had. And he, the first thing he did was, hey, my name's Chris Mabius and I'm here. And I'm the head assistant. I say, well, nice to meet you, Chris. Why don't you walk around the campus and come on back so we have, until we have more time. Chris took it nicely until I told our head coach, Ed Schiff, hey, he has his Mabius guy here yet? I said, oh, yeah, the Chris Mabius guy? Yeah, he's here. I sent him on a walk to come back when we're ready for him. And he said, Barrett, you know how Ed would say it. Go find him and get him back here. And I traced him down. But from then on, Chris, I mean, knowing your parents, you can see why. And I got to stop talking. I'm just so god darn excited to have you two on here right now. How tough is it, Boston, to come back after taking 2 years off and coming back to play and be a part of? And what were the challenges?
Yeah, so I'm actually like super, I guess, a blessing in disguise. I didn't get to finish my entire mission. So I actually only served for 18 months. COVID cut me short about 6 months. So I actually ended up being able to come home in April instead of like August. So I was blessed enough to like, basically walk on day one in the fall, like being completely ready to go, when like a lot of like my friends who come home for missions, like they get like return, like it's a thing around BYU, like you get this return missionary just dead arm, like your arm just hurts wow. every day, and like they struggle with it. And I was lucky enough to, I mean, one, I came home, and credit to BYU, I came home and I had like packets of papers of what to do, how to get in shape. Like they know what they're doing when it comes to like getting missionaries in shape to play.
Yeah.
And I mean, my dad was a big leaguer. So like he knows how to get arms in shape too. So with those two resources, I think it was challenging. Like, but like I said, like I learned this discipline. I learned this stuff on my mission that like, I realized like, hey, like, okay, now's my time. Like if I want to go be a big leaguer, if I want to be a professional baseball player, like you just got to do these things. And
yeah,
it was hard, luckily. And like, this has to be some blessing from the big man himself, but like I never really experienced any like arm pain coming back. Like I was yeah. good, ready to go. I got in phenomenal shape. And then once we got full steam ahead at BYU, I got in better shape. I got stronger. I think my first outing, I was 93. I'd never thrown that hard in my life. So, I mean, I just started like everything started working, which I don't know if I've thrown it that hard since. So,
yeah,
but it happened that day. And, so yeah, it was good. I didn't see a ton of setbacks, but it was hard, a lot of hard work. I mean, 6 months of getting after it, plus having a 14, 15 year old brother who like all he wants to do is lift, during COVID it was pretty cool too. So, plus my dad at his old age still gets after it in the gym. So us three, we are getting after it every day. And so, I mean,
I keep telling your dad, if he could just maybe instead of wearing small shirts all the time, maybe go up to a medium or large, I don't know, something.
I know. I think we're the same size. I think we're the same size. And I come home and none of his stuff fits me. I'm like, dude,
it's called the medium, bro. It's called a schmedium, and he works in that area, and that's fair. That's really fair. Chris, I love you nodding, man. I love how proud you are of your son, Boston. It's a beautiful sight to see. It's beautiful to see, man. Did you think, though, Chris, without talking to him at times, that this was going to be a challenge for him to come on back from the from the mission and get after it again? Was it going to be a challenge that you're going to go, man, I'm not sure my kid's going to actually be able to do this. I'm not sure.
You know, I think I agree with what he said earlier about, was he ready to go out to pro ball when he was a senior in high school? And there's no way. I think that he's always had a very high ceiling, but just took a little bit longer to maybe reach that. But I think it's interesting to listen to him talk about his perspective of coming back. And, you know, I think he gets, you know, he's so close to what's happening in his life that he maybe doesn't see the whole picture. And as a dad, I've got to step back and have a different perspective. And I can see, you know, the larger paintbrushes of what's happening in his life. And I'll just say, you know, just kind of close up the mission thing. But if you look at the painting that's been painted over the last 4 years in his life, we talked about his GPA coming out of high school at 2.2. And now he's all conference academically. And the thing that he hasn't mentioned either is that he's accepted into law school. So he took his LSATs, he's got accepted into law school. And if baseball doesn't work out, he has the opportunity to go to law school next year and potentially be a lawyer. And I think that if you combine that, again, if you look at the picture of what's been painted over the last 4 years, he dealt with an on-field injury his sophomore year. And that one that really derailed him for an entire year. Mm-hmm. And just the determination that he has, the rigorous no quit, his work ethic, he just really, I think God has prepared him for all of the things that he knew were going to be challenges in his life. And he's stayed the course. And because he's done that, the blessings that have come in his life maybe haven't come as, you know, $1 million signing bonus, but they have come to him in things like, you know, he has a chance to utilize his full potential as an academically and pursue a career as a lawyer, something that he's wanted to do. And like I said, as I look back at the painting from a much bigger, you know, I see the brushstrokes over the last 4 years. I'm very, very happy with the way that things turned out. And baseball has been really a ticket for a lot of those things and kind of the rail guards to keep him online, because you have to stay academically eligible. You have to continue your work ethic. All of those things that student athletes have to do, they're the guardrails to keep you on track to be able to do some really good things in your life.
Man, beautiful. Well said. Well said. Almost. It's hard to believe sometimes, and I think you guys are very minority when it comes to and you definitely Boston. There's a minority now. There's an expectation fathers have with their sons, and you need to do this, and need to do that, need to this. What I'm hearing is your dad did have his hand on the pulse. Your dad, and I'd love to hear prior, before 13, but I also see, Chris, you stepping back, letting higher power, letting God, let whatever it take. Hey, man, you're not in charge, Chris. Boston is not in charge. Something else, but you're just going to continue to guide and guide. But let me ask you, Boston, before, how was the relationship between you guys before 13? Father, son, coach, you got a dad as a major leaguer. Dad is very successful. I saw him in Modesto. I saw him pitch for the Milwaukee later on. I've seen it. I've seen the guy in college. Very tough shoes to fill if you saw the guy. His work ethic, his competitiveness, his he stole a lot of foul balls. I won't get into that during the College World Series baseball game that we're still looking for some.
Yeah, don't.
We'll get into that. But Boston, how was the challenge as a father, as a son to a father in the major leagues? Was there an expectation you had to go, man, I'm good, bad, and different? If you can think back at those times when you were 9, 10, 11, 12, or Chris, vice versa.
Once my dad was out of professional baseball, like it was, he was my coach and everything till about, I was like, till my freshman year in high school, basically. So, but I think my dad, credit to him, like, obviously, like, he was hard on me. He knew like baseball was something I wanted to do. So because of that, it was like, okay, like if we're going to do this, we're going to do this. And he didn't take it easy on me. Like if I was struggling, he was going to get on my case. And if I wasn't doing something right, he was going to get on my case. And that's one thing, like, I'm super happy that he did, because it helped me understand this, like, have this idea that, like, if you want something, like, you can go work for it. Like, it's like the only obstacle is yourself. So that's something I think my dad helped me with growing up. And also he told me all the time. And I mean, genuine, like, this could have been because he was mad at me and I was struggling to play. He would tell me, like, hey, like, baseball isn't for you. It's not for you. Like, if you want to collect stamps, right, you can collect stamps. Like, yeah, if you want to read books, man, you can read books. Like the baseball doesn't have to be it doesn't have to be what you do. And he was super good with that, to where, like, I knew, like, obviously baseball was something I wanted to do. I'm still playing it today, and I hope to play it for a long time. And he was good at letting me be, like, kind of like choose my own path. Like, if I wanted to be playing the NFL instead, he would try to help me do that. If I wanted to be an NBA player, he'd try to help me do that. So,
right.
And my dad's a great coach. In all aspects, he obviously knows a lot about baseball. He's a great coach. So I'm thankful to have had him, like, growing up and, kind of mentoring me. And then, not everybody gets to have a dad who was a big leaguer. So I think, it was just awesome. And I mean, everybody thinks, like, growing up, like, my dad and I talk about this all the time. Like, I mean, nobody ever thinks their dad knows what they're talking about. So, like, even though my dad was, like, this big league pitcher, like, I wasn't always too coachable growing up. So he would tell me something, and I'd be like, yeah, right. Like, you know what you're talking about. Like, no one's dad knows anything. Yeah. And then obviously now, like, growing up, yeah, I realize, oh, I wish I would have listened to some of this stuff a little earlier.
And Boston, I coached your father, and he doesn't know everything. Just so you know, Bob. Okay, let's get that clearly. And you always call him dad, respect him, man. Sometimes coaches tell you something, Boston, when they come to the mound and you're throwing, they want to say something. The best answer, my dad always told me, say nothing and continue saying it. Okay, that was my dad, because I used to like to question every coach out there. There's Boston, you were not just a PO then, obviously, in high school. You hit too as well.
Yeah, I'd like to think my potential is really at the plate.
I see a smile on your father, right? I see your dad smiling. I'm not sure, but here's the why I asked that. We get a lot of guys. We got a team right now at Notre Dame High School. We won the other night. We lost 1-0 to Huntington Beach Saturday. Didn't hit. We lost. Then we won the other day, last night, 2-0 to Ayala. Play Cypress. We don't hit very well right now. A lot of the pitchers are getting a little frustrated with their offensive guys, like they do in the dugout. And they're saying, hey, man, I can strike out 4 times in a game too. I can. When did you accept being a PO, and was there a challenge in that area?
No, in all honesty,
or maybe not. I don't know.
Deep in my heart, I think I can do them both. But on. I might be the only one who thinks that. So, I realized, like, hey, I'm left-handed. I'm not too fast. If I'm going to continue this hitting thing, I'm probably going to have to put out like 20 pumps a year and hit like 350. But I am left-handed. So, and my dad pitched in the big league. So it's in there somewhere. So I think I'll probably stick to pitching.
Chris, was there a challenge with the coaching staff what kind of a dad were you, Chris, with Boston playing? And, you know, Berkeley, we'll get Berkeley, by the way, we'll get Berkeley next time, whenever that comes. But what kind of a father being in the big leagues? And you heard your son say, it's nice to have a dad. Was it a challenge for you as a father to see your son play in a high school where maybe you didn't always agree with the coaching styles or what? Pillow that, cushion that, to not get in your son's ear and say, you know what, man, they're screwing you out there, or because that's not the right thing to tell parents to do. That I'm going to do this thing. I'm going to write a book. I promise you, I've already started, called The Ride Home, and that drive home between Chris Mabius and Boston Mabius to sit there and go, well, how'd it go today? Man, a coach didn't hit me. I know. Well, instead of saying, you know, your coach is a horse's ass, and you know, instead of going there. There's another conversation, obviously, but how was it, Chris, as a father and a son, when things went good, bad, and different, if you will?
Man, I think that, we don't have enough time on the podcast to dissect that one. There's a lot there. Right. You know, one of the things I thought in listening to Boston talk about that I'm grateful for, just, hey, I have four kids. I had him. He was around the clubhouse when I was, you know, a professional baseball player, and our relationship's different than I have with my 14-year-old son, in good ways and some different ways, I'd say. Boston, I played with a lot. I had the energy. I was just a kid myself. And so he was more my buddy. I took him everywhere. We played wiffle ball together. We played football against each other. I just can't believe the amount of energy I had. So I never said no to him. You know, Dad, let's go throw the football outside. We used to play these fun games that we'd make up, and we had a really close, friendship. But at the same time, I was very, very hard on him. He'd mentioned that earlier. I wanted perfection out of my oldest, like very critical of everything I did. And I think early on the ride homes, I was the coach and I would be like, hey man, that 3-1 fastball that you missed that you're late. This is an 8-year-old kid. And that 3-1 fastball that you're late on, like, what's your thoughts there? And you really should never be late on it. You worked hard to get into that count. And he's just like, trying to play with the radio, because all he wants to do is listen to, you know, he just wants to listen to the next Justin Bieber song or something like that. And it would frustrate me, because I'm like, this is the end all be all is this Saturday morning tournament that we just did. Right. And so I think I had to learn when he started maybe jumping in the car with mom that I needed to change things a little bit. And my saying really now, and I think later on, was, hey, son, I just love watching you play baseball. And to your point about the, when he got into high school, I can listen, but I don't think it's healthy to create or to harbor an area to where we're constantly complaining about things and doing nothing about it or talking about solutions. Mm-hmm. And so if we're just being negative, and I feel like I'm allowing that to happen all the time, or even contributing it to it by talking about that coach behind his back, I don't think that's the best situation. I can think of one particular time where we'd gotten to, I think Boston had an outing, and let's say he threw 110 pitches, and I think 70% of them ended up being breaking balls, some astronomical
thing
where he was throwing breaking balls. And I said, hey, I will support you on this. You know, you're up to 92 miles an hour. Let's go have a conversation with the coach and the pitching coach. And I'll be there to support you. Let's try to understand what his thoughts are, as opposed to maybe having a conversation between him where we're putting all the blame on him. And I just don't think that's a healthy way for to us to raise our kids. You're just teaching them. And it's going to happen. That's what's going to happen with their boss, or they're frustrated at work, or their school teachers. And I know I wasn't perfect at all, but I think over the course of four kids, I've gotten better at it.
Yeah, man. God, Chris, well said on that. Well said. And I think for Boston's confidence, and for kids' confidence, and I'm around them a lot, man. I'm around and when a father or a mother, mostly the fathers. Mothers are great. The father will come in and hi, this is my son Boston. Oh, hi Boston, nice to meet you. And I want to communicate with Boston. I don't want to communicate with Chris or the dad telling me he can do this, he can do that. Yeah, you got screwed last. I mean, the kid sits there and you can see the look on the kid's face, going, God, Dad, I wish I can join in this conversation about myself, about me. I just so wish I could just, it's uncomfortable already having you here. And now you're going to speak for me. And then it's just like, man, it's a challenge. Boston, you see it today with coaches and so forth. You have disagreements, but I got to imagine. And I think disagreements are healthy, man. I think I can't tell you. I can't imagine. You got a pitch. I don't know who calls pitches, or you're a PO right now, which sounds negative, but it's not, because you probably make millions of dollars as a PO. I don't know why people hate being a PO. There's a lot of money in a PO. Hunter Green, there's a lot of money in being a PO, just going to say. But it must have felt better to not have a father just helicoptering and hovering over you, as opposed to you get a chance to be yourself. You agree?
Yeah, and also, like, going on that, like, once you, like, harbor this idea of like complaining, it's a plague. Like it ruins teams. I've seen it on my time here at BYU. And I think even me personally, I could have done a better job at not complaining about something with my teammates, or like kind of shutting it down when it was happening. I've seen it ruin teams, like good teams, talented teams. All of a sudden everybody thinks like, oh, well, like, well, this is stupid, or like, this is dumb. And it's like, like, yep. What does it matter? Like, we still have, like, it doesn't change anything. Like complaining, like, yes, you can have a conversation. Like, if you can have a conversation with, like, the skipper or yeah, like, whoever's having these things, like, I mean, who knows if anything is going to change, but at least, it's going to do more than complaining. Like, complaining is going to do absolutely nothing for you. Like bickering to your teammates, and, like, it doesn't solve anything. It doesn't help make anything better. So it's, like, it just ruins teams. It ruins chemistry. And then you got guys pulling on different sides of the rope, and it's a disaster. So, I mean, I'm glad my dad didn't let me do it growing up. I think, obviously, like you said earlier, like, sometimes your coach is going to say something, and it's like, I mean, really, who knows if, like, it happens obviously more and like, go to a public high school, you know, who knows if your coach is teaching the right thing, but it's like,
right.
Well, if you're doing like, No one was telling Barry Bonds to fix anything with his stance. Like, if you don't want to,
right.
If you don't want to like get if you don't want to get coached or get something changed, like, produce. Like, no one's going to tell the guy that's producing to change something. You know,
God, you're spot on, man. You know, Chris, the one thing I like that you said is, hey, if we want to talk to him, we'll go in there together and discuss. And we have a pretty good following on this podcast, Boston. By the way, we're with Boston Mabius, left-handed pitcher, Brigham Young University, and his father, Chris Mabius, former major leaguer, as well as just a phenomenal father. But the one thing, Chris, you said is, we'll go in there and talk together. One thing parents do today, which I wish they could learn, is you don't want to affect your son in any way. You know, in any way. You want to allow your son on what he does from his own merits to decide what a coach wants. And some coaches are wrong. I may be the only coach out there that's never been wrong, but there are coaches out there that have been wrong. No, but if to send an email, here's the thing. Yeah. Parents want to say, no, I'm going to email the coach. Okay. Before you email the coach, before you press send, just delete it. Because that email that comes to a coach and says, my son, Denny Barrett, my dad, God rest in peace, he was one of those guys. Everyone loved him. Great guy. But on the side, he played pro ball. And on the side, he would send an email to a college coach, even to Ed. And he sent an email saying, hey, my son, I don't know if he had emails back then. Maybe it was a phone call. It didn't matter. But, and what it would do is it would affect the coaches, because he's just human. And to say, you know what? If you think Mabius is that good, Chris Mabius, if you think Boston's that good, then you know what? Then you, first of all, I'll give him one shot. And then now you just get under a microscope on your ability, and now it becomes a personal vendetta against each other. It can go, it can cause nothing but adding more problems, not support. However, Chris, if you bring in your son, and your son now goes in, and parents bring in your son or daughter and have a conversation with no result, don't expect anything. No one's gonna come out there going, okay, you get to, next time I'll start you on the mound and you get to hit first. That kind of is not gonna happen. So I love the solution there, because how many times, I think every game a parent can wanna question, or a player can wanna question the coach. I think every game there's a, why do you throw that pitch? Why'd you, you're 8 years old, I love that. Why'd you take that 3-1 pitch? It was about middle in. What the hell, why don't you turn it again?
I did. Well, I think one of the things that Ann, his mother, and I did early on is,
please tell Ann hello for me, by the way, Boston, Chris. All right. Known Ann. I've known Ann since way back when. And I knew Ann the day, in fact, the day she had you, I saw Ann. And I said, Ann, how you doing? She says, I can't wait for Boston to arrive. But Chris is a whole different topic. So we had to wait on that one. We had to wait and talk later. In fact, Boston, when I had my Brady, Brady's 3 years young, 3 days younger than you. Chris came to the hospital to see Boston Mabius. Our rooms were right next to each other. Ann's and Tanya's right next to each other. Chris decided to come in and watch my wife breastfeed the child that we just had. Now, it wasn't intentional, but I just didn't think he left quick enough. That was my problem, okay? That was the issue. And Rob, Rob, producer Rob, you can't believe he's hearing this, but it was the greatest, funniest thing. Chris came into the wrong room.
That's great.
I'm sorry, Tanya, but go on, Chris. Continue. I'm sorry. I didn't mean to break you off.
No, it was a beautiful time in both of our lives, for sure. Yes. And very special for both of us. I would say Ann and I did one thing I think we did really well, and it played well, is from an early age, we have our kids have conversations with adults. So if they want a transaction at a grocery store, or they want to talk to somebody, we would take a backseat and we would actually hand the money. I can think of this clearly, handing the money to our son and saying, hey, go buy that yourself then. And you don't see a lot of kids that are having. So along with that, I think they communicate very well. And I'm going to give them the opportunity to communicate first with their coach and have them with the goal of trying to understand. There's a lot of things we as parents don't see that happen behind the scenes. Why isn't my son playing? Well, he gives us a crappy effort in practice.
Right on.
Or he doesn't have a good attitude. He's not a good teammate. Those are things that we don't see. We show up to the game and we don't see that our kid's hitting. And the game tells a very small story of what's going on in the entire thing, the picture of the season or the team. And so when we would have these things, I know Boston will agree, we would, Ann and I would encourage our kids to have these conversations or lead these discussions and know that we were going to support them. If their intent was to understand where they could do a better job and control what they could control versus just complaining about a situation with no solutions.
Well said, man. Well said. How was dinner times, Boston? How was dinner at a young age? You got you playing, you got your younger brother playing. Was there ever any discomfort at dinner when maybe you got beat up a little bit? You went 0 for 4. Maybe Boston went 0 for 4. Did dad all of a sudden step in and say, hey, we got to change it? Because I remember as a Barrett family, I have two sons, Brennan and Brady, and we had that night. And I remember sitting down going, hey, listen to me, gentlemen. If we don't start hitting, and I'm thinking I'm not hitting. It's those two guys that are hitting. If we don't start hitting better as Barretts, what kind of statement is that, man? Like the Barretts are the hitters. I meant, then you know what? We need to do something different. And the pressure that my sons had, that I, like a young dad at the time, would come in. I put on that pressure. Did you ever feel that, Boston? I know dad's here on screen, but did you ever feel any pressure coming in those nights that you didn't do very well?
I mean, yeah, but no, like I said, my dad was hard on me. He expected, like you mentioned earlier, like he expected a lot out of me. And and if I wasn't producing, and a lot of it came from because he knew that I wanted to produce. Like he knew that I wanted to be a good baseball player. He knew that I wanted to be a big leaguer, you know?
Gotcha.
So, I mean, he would get on me like, hey, like I was, the way he impersonates that chef is really funny, because he actually, like when he's coaching, like he actually talks just like the way he impersonates Ed. So it's funny. So But
God, that's great.
He's that's like, great. Hey man, like if we want to do this, right? Like we gotta in A, B, but like if you don't want to do it, like he just so he gets on me and he knows it's because I want to produce, and he's like, hey, like what you're doing isn't it. It's not gonna get the job done. So if we're gonna right. do this, like we gotta get it done. And yeah, that's what it was. And I think it was more of like he knew I wanted it, and he knew he had the answers to the test. So that's something he would tell me all the time, is like, I'm giving you the answers to the test. Like if you want to use these answers, like you're going to get 100% of the test. If you don't want to use these answers, it's on you. Like I get it.
Hey Boston, now you're married now, aren't you?
I'll be married in June.
Congratulations, man. Congratulations. Chris, you were married at the time, I believe, when you're at Lewiston with us.
Yep.
Right. And you had you had Boston. And we hadn't got to the World Series, the College World Series yet. We hadn't gotten there. You had them in April. So we still had a couple of months left until you had I remember during BP, we prepare at nighttime and hit. And I remember Tanya and Brady and Ann and Boston sitting down the left field line. And I remember just freaking balls just launching over there. They weren't protected at all, Boston. Thank God you're still here, because we had no L screens. We had no protective screens, nothing. And the balls just get shot by you, dead ass pull and so forth, and having you out here. Chris, as a father, man, and a former player, and I'm going to go personal here. Any regrets that you have today as a parent to help out our other parents when your son was, you already mentioned one, 8 years old, talking about that 3-1 pitch. I totally get it. Shit, that just makes perfect sense. You know, come on, boss. You should be sitting dead red, and he's thinking, I'm just playing video games right now. But any regrets, Chris, that you learned from a Berkeley that came later on or something? Any changes you made with your two kids?
Man, I have a lot of regrets. I'm not a perfect father. I think we learn as we go. I think that the perspective that I try to keep in mind is I'd like to be more proactive than reactive with my kids. And I think that's one of my goals over, you know, they said what I want to be more proactive, anticipate things are coming, so I'm not so reactive to things. But I think as far as regrets go, you know, the perspective I would take is that there's two things. When your kids are little, they don't have a choice. They're going to spend the time with you. So they are with you, whether they like it or not. And you have their attention. You can lecture them. You get the opportunity to do all those things. Boston, you know, I think one of the greatest things to me, rewarding wise, is now that Boston's at college and Burke has a 30-minute drive to Bishop Gorman every morning, I get a phone call from them more often than I don't. And I think that's the perspective that if I have regrets is that's the thing that's the most valuable to me, is as long after they're out of the house and baseball's over, I want to be a part of their life. And if I did things to damage that because I was an imperfect human being, I'm a flawed human being, then yeah, I have regrets for sure. I did it out of love because I thought it was the best thing for them, but I have regrets for sure. I just didn't know any better. And I was very hard on Boston. And I think some of his success is because of how hard I was on him. And there's good that came from it. But I have no doubts that's also damaged our relationship in some areas as well.
Sure. But I tell you, I don't know why. We got about 5 minutes left here. We're going to do this again next. We're going to talk about next week. But I don't know why, though, Chris, when Boston was born, you had to teach him the step-off move. He was only a day old. I was there that day in the hospital, Boston. So,
Danny, I tied his right hand behind his back.
I know.
Right? So, yeah.
Boston,
I think that's true, actually. I do everything else right-handed, so I don't actually know if I'm left-handed.
Tough break.
We asked the doctor. We asked the doctor, what is he? Well, he's definitely right-handed. For some reason, there's a change. Something changed right there. I'll tell you what, you two. Boston, you're at BYU. Any trip? What's coming up now? How's the team, real quick? How's the BYU team?
Oh, we look good. We have a new staff. Coach Pratt hired some new guys. Taylor Coolball, Adam Law. They're great guys. Great addition to the staff. They help out Trent a ton.
That's great.
They make the vibe at the field all good. We've improved on the pitching side, and we have a lot of young guys that have a year of experience under the belt that are going to be key players. So we start this Friday. We're excited.
Where are you guys at? Where are you at this Friday? What do you got?
We play at Sloan Park. The Cubs minor league facility.
Oh, okay. Okay.
And we start off against USC. So
nice, man. The Trojans. Yeah. The Trojans out here. Good deal. And now, Chris, how tough is it now? You got your one kid at BYU. You got your other kid, Bishop Gorman. How do you see them both? How do you get a chance to see them both?
Yeah. So I told my wife and I were just talking about this with two seniors. We're going to try our very best to devote as much time as we can to get to as many games as we can. Because like I said, I think when they're young, I thought the window would never close. And now it's like, I love to watch them compete. It's harder as a dad. I remember my dad, when I would pitch, I could never find him in the stands. And I'd ask my mom, where's dad? And dad's out of the stadium. He cannot handle when you're on the mound. It stresses him out. And he's going to start smoking here in a minute if you don't get this next, right? So it's hard to watch your kids, especially in the pitching. It's hard to watch them, but man, do I love it. I just love watching them do something that they love to do. And this is his senior year. He's worked his butt off. He's prepared. He's going to close games. The games he's going to go into, I mean, I expect him to go into a game Friday night against SC with the game on the line. He should be expecting it too. And I think one of the most important things that I can provide to him as a dad is, do your very best. Let the cards lie where they may. I love you no matter what. Like, I just love you, and I love watching you compete. We don't know what's going to happen. There's some things you can't control. What you can control is give it your very best. But you're going to come home to a dad that just loves you and loves watching you play something you love.
God bless you, man. I think that's the answer right there. And Boston, I'll tell you, man, I am so looking forward to following you. Do you guys ever come out to Southern Cal? You ever come out to Southern Cal?
We played Davis. I don't know where Davis is.
That's Northern Cal.
That's what I thought. I don't think
representing me, Boston, in the law as a law firm, if you could just know the difference between where Northern Cal and Southern Cal is, that's all I'm gonna ask, real quick. Not a big deal.
I thought it was Northern Cal, because I like no one calls it as some destination to go to, so I thought it was in Northern California. So that's what I figured. So
is that the only? So that you're going out to Northern Cal, where the Northern Cal some team just got spanked by the Chiefs, which I love. I'm sorry, I didn't mean to hurt anybody's feelings out there. But you will be out. I will be following you, man. We got a lot going on, Chris. I'm gonna say it again. I love you like a son, like a brother. I love your family. I know your parents. I miss the trip to Alaska. I love that I was there and got a chance to stay at your place. And again, I do miss the time when your dad or some, maybe it was you, hit a ball into the out there, so the dog to chase after the ball, and the dog never came back. And I'm not sure why. I'm not sure. You really got into one right there that day. And we're still looking for the dog to come back, but it happens sometimes in Alaska. Okay. That's a story you can talk to Boston about. There was a puppy you got, Boston, that Boston, it'd still be here today, but Chris thought it'd be cute to sit the ball 9 miles in the brush.
Never came back.
Never came back. It's all right. Okay. Still looking for it. Can we, let's look at doing this again next week, Chris, with Berkeley, man. And we get a chance to talk about Boston, maybe bringing Boston back on again. I think there's a lot of stuff I want to get into, those that are listening, that about more father, son, parent, player. And it's not so much stride and stance. It's about the relationship, man. I really think the reason why Chris, you and I get along is because of the relationship. We rarely talk. If my kid, never have I asked your dad, hey, how's Boston doing? He topped out at 89 the other day. He should have been 90. None of that stuff, man. He's healthy. He's getting married. He's doing well. He's going to be a lawyer. That's the stuff that really makes it, man. And you'll get a chance, Boston, to pass along to your kids and so forth. And Chris, I can't thank you guys enough for coming on at such a late notice, my friend. Thank you.
It's our pleasure. I mean, I know we were looking forward to this all day. So,
I hope you got everything out of it that you wanted, man. A little bit, Boston, just a little bit. And Boston, I'll give you my number. You want to talk to me and vent a little bit more about Chris? I can handle it. I got him, man.
Need a therapist for that relationship.
Hi, this is Denny Barrett, founder and head coach at Batters, which stands for Baseball Advanced Training and Recruiting Services. Batters is a full-service baseball school that is dedicated to building complete student athletes. We provide the best instruction at top facilities in order to mentally and physically prepare our players for success at the high school level and beyond. Click on BattersSoCal.com. That's B-A-T-R-S, SoCal.com for details and sign up today. In addition, we also hold open tryouts for top local players who are interested in joining a Batters team. Our travel ball teams typically practice 2 times per week and play doubleheaders every other Sunday, in addition to entering local tournaments or out-of-state tournaments on off weekends 2 or 3 times per season. If you have a player or team who is interested in joining Batters, please email me at battersSoCal@gmail.com. I look forward to hearing from you. Thanks.